moments in our life where that we can say that when we're in the presence of God, right? Sometimes things can change in a second, in a moment of time, in the presence of God. God can change the direction of your life. And it is in those moments, and we might not even be aware of it, but God will meet you in that moment in time, where in that time, in His presence, amen, there is a decision to be made. And when you make that decision, it changes your direction in life. Amen. So there are moments in life when everything may begin to shift, but it doesn't happen gradually. And it may be, how can I put it? Moments in life, everything begins to shift, right? But it doesn't happen gradually. It may not even happen slowly, and it may not even happen at the right time where you want it. But suddenly, in a matter of a second, there could be in your life a turning point, amen, when not only the things in your life begin to change, but your circumstances begin to change first, and it's when your heart begins to change its direction. Amen. So you may have walked in one way into this service, but God, our great God, specializes in moments where you will walk out of this service differently.
God specializes.
Amen. So one moment in God's presence can change the direction of a lifetime, because God meets us at moments of decision and changes our direction. And I don't know about you, but I've been in places where God, in a moment in time in my life, God in His presence just downloaded a revelation that changed my direction in life.
Amen.
There's been times that I've been in the Word of God. Amen. Like it happened about 10 years ago. I was in the Word of God, and God gave me a word, and it confirmed something that a man of God had told me, and that took a turn in my life. It was a turning point for my life. Amen. And I really believe we've all been there at one time or another. But it's not just at that time. Many times, God will put you in a place where you say to yourself, and you come to your senses and you say, "Whoa, what am I doing? I need to turn my life around. Enough is enough." And that's when that particular time in your life will mark a turning point in your life. So a new direction comes into play. The light of the Lord will give you that new direction. The Lord will make every crooked road straight, says the word. And it
Amen.
marks you. And it marks your destiny. And it marks your purpose. So I want to talk to you today about turning points in your life, that one begins with the realization, amen, the knowing when you come to your senses. I want to talk to you about a turning point that requires you to take a decision and take action. I want to talk to you about a turning point that often comes through interruptions. I want to talk to you about a turning point that leads to transformation. And I want to talk to you about a turning point that is for right now, for today. Amen.
Amen.
Don't wait till the new year to come in. The turning point begins today. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, the Lord Jesus, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody knows about the story of the prodigal son, right? We know, we've heard about the parable of the lost son. And I don't want to go into the whole story, but we all know that there was a father that had two sons and he had an inheritance for his sons, right? And one of the sons says, I want my inheritance now, right? And we all know that he took his inheritance from the father. The father willingly gave it to his son, and his son wasted his inheritance. And I want to begin in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 15, and I want you to go to verse 17. So let's go there, and please let me know when you're there. Amen. Hallelujah. Remember, this particular son took the inheritance of the father. He wasted it. He wasted it on things, on prostitutes. I mean, he had a field day and he wasted it all. And at the end of the day, at one time in his life, after he had wasted all that he had, he was even in a pig's pen at one point, and he was starving and he was famine. And in Luke 15:17 it says, but when he came to himself, you should repeat that. You should say to yourself, when I came to myself, it says, amen. When he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. In other words, when he came to himself, this verse is marking a turning point in his life. That phrase marks the beginning of change in his life, because when he came to himself, he came to a turning point that began with realization. He realized, what am I doing here? And the Lord in this story, he's saying in this verse, when he came to himself, the Lord is referring to the deception that he was going through. And when he came to himself, that speaks to the son. His spiritual eyes were opened. He was being deceived. Hallelujah. Remember, he took his father's inheritance, and he thought, I guess he must have thought that his inheritance was going to last and last and last, but he was so deceived by society, so deceived by people, influenced by people, that he wasted it all. And in a moment of hunger, in a moment of hopelessness, the word of God says he came to himself and he remembered. He remembered the father. He remembered. He brought the father's memory into his being. His memory of his home came into being. And he said, what am I doing here? What am I doing here? I'm wasted everything. I'm hungry. In my father's house, there is food. There's a comfortable bed. What am I doing here? He came to his senses. And before we know from scripture, and we're going to get there later, right? We know from scripture that when he came to his senses, he began to rehearse and says, I am going to apologize to my dad. I have not only failed my father, but I failed God. Amen. He came to his senses. And when he came to his senses, it was like the light bulb came on, and it was a turning point for his life. And he said, I'm going back. I am going back. And before the prodigal son came home, before he changed the location where he was at, before his situation improved, his mind had woken up. And unfortunately, some of us are not bound by the devil. We are bound by deception. The son was fully deceived. Fully deceived. He thought he can make that money last. Fully deceived that it was better to have fun and waste his money than to be at home under his father's roof. Many of our young adults and children, amen, they think that they have it better outside of our home. They think they know it all. Amen. And they want to do whatever they want. They become some rebellious kids, teenage kids. I don't know about you, but I had some rebellious teenage kids when I was raising them. And they really thought that the outside world was better than being home. And when they left home, they realized, oh, the grass is not always greener on the other side. And guess what? They came back home. They came back home. And they said, Mom, Dad, sorry, this is not what I was expecting. Can I come back home? I will follow the rules. Amen. I mean, it's a reality. Our kids come back home. It's hard out there, especially nowadays. It's not like the times before. Before we had it really much easier. But now, with the influence of social media, TikTok, Instagram videos, all these false realities that they're watching, is bringing chaos into our children, into our young adults. Amen? So there is deception out there. And some of us, amen, not this church, some of us, are bound by deception. But thank God to the Holy Ghost, to the Holy Spirit, who has a way of shaking us awake. Am I right? Doesn't the Holy Ghost awake you sometimes? And you become to realize, this isn't who I am. And the prodigal son said, this isn't who I am. He realized, I wasn't created for this. And we come to realize many times, I wasn't created for this. What am I doing? And another realization is, you realize that there's more than survival, there's a purpose. You got to realize that God has a purpose. He's got a plan for your life.
Amen.
And the reality is that turning points start when truth confronts denial.
Amen.
How many of us have walked in denial and denied the truth of what's really happening within you? Denied the truth that of something maybe that's been deeply rooted in the inside of you. You're in denial. But the reality is, we as children of God, we need to face the truth. We need healing in our lives. Some of us need emotional healing. Some of us need mental healing. Some of us need spiritual healing. We've been hurt. Amen? But yet, we still are in denial when the reality is, you need to confront the truth. Confront it and make that a turning point in your life. And ask the Holy Spirit, help me. Help me to awaken. Help me to shake this off. I don't want to live under this denial anymore. I don't want to be deceived anymore. I want my life to change. I you know, God, I realize I messed up. I realize I wasn't created for this. And take that turning point and just go with it. Amen. And a turning point requires a decision. The prodigal son didn't just feel bad for himself. You know what he did? He got up. He got up. And in the same chapter in verse 20, look at what it says. It says, and he arose and came to his father. Amen. In other words, He put action to work. He didn't just make a decision, but he followed through on his decision. He arose and came to his father. So feelings, his feelings, what he was feeling, the emotions that he was going through, didn't change him. His decisions, the decision to go, arise, and begin to go towards his father, that decision changed him. Because feelings don't change our lives, but decisions do. Amen? And look at how this story is so fabulous, because look at what the father's response is right after. But when he was still a great way off, right? His father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Amen? In other words, there was no time to judge him, to remind him of his failure. No, the father just ran to his son. The father embraced his son. The father restored his son. Amen? And the reality is that God is not waiting to remind you where you failed. No, God is eager to welcome you home and just say, just go, get up and go and take action and fulfill the purpose that I've called you for. Amen. At this time, right now. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will check us. The Holy Spirit will reveal truth to us. With the Holy Spirit, when you are aware of the Holy Spirit, you shouldn't be deceived by anything or no one, because we have discernment through the power of the Holy Spirit that resides in us. So the Spirit, hallelujah, awakened this prodigal son. There must have been a nudge here from God, amen, and say, hello, what are you doing? Amen. He came to himself. He took action. He made a decision to go back home. Because his home, there was safety. Amen. His home, there was peace. In his home, there was food. He wouldn't have to suffer any famine. Amen. And his father fully received him, as we know from the story, and restored him to the original position where he was. Amen. His father restored his identity. Hallelujah. And that's what God does with us. Amen. When we come to realize, when we come to ourselves and say, what am I doing? Amen. We as Christians, all we got to do is repent. Amen. Confess, get up and keep going. And God is right there with you. He's not reminding you of how you displeased him. He's not reminding you of how you failed. He's not reminding you of your mishaps. He's not reminding you of your mistakes. He says, daughter, son, keep going. I'm with you. I'm cheering you on. Right. Just keep going. Mm-hmm. Amen. But we're the ones that have to make that decision. Amen. And in the book of Ruth, and let's go there, right? Everybody, well, a lot of us know the story of Ruth, right? Let's go to the book of Ruth and let's go to chapter 1. Sometimes I need to get some stickers. It's such a small book that sometimes it's hard to find. My Lord, where are you? I believe it's after Judges, if I'm not mistaken. I'm still looking for it. Okay, here we go. And let's go to verse 16. You know, we know the story of Ruth, right? A lot of us know the story of Ruth. Amen. Naomi lost her husband, and even her two sons who were married to two ladies, Orpah and Ruth. Amen. They also died. So Naomi was left by herself. Amen. And Naomi was ready to go back, because if we know scripture, right? Naomi's husband Elimelech, right? He had left the nation of Israel when it was in famine, and he went to a foreign country. Amen. So he ran away from Israel. He ran away from God. Fear must have been in him, because they said, I'm not staying here. I'm going to live it out in a new country, in a foreign country. But I'm pretty sure that was not God's will for his life, because in that country, in that nation, he died, and even his two sons died. Amen.
Right.
So, but Naomi, as the wife of Elimelech, she followed her husband's decision to leave Israel and go to a foreign country. That's, you know, the wife abided by the husband's decision. And now she was at a point where I want to go back home. I want to go back to Israel. I want to go back to my nation. Amen. And then she talks to the two daughter-in-laws and say, listen, I'm leaving. Go back to your families, but I'm going. Amen. And Ruth 1:16, look at what Ruth says in 1:16. Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge.
I will lodge.
Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Amen. And I want you to look at this, because the key phrase here that I'm looking to talk about is the phrase that Ruth says, where you go, I will go. Your God will be my God. And when we look at that phrase, you got to think, wow, what a commitment. Amen. And this is a phrase that a lot of us quote a lot of times in relationships. You know what? Where you go, I'm going to follow you. Or with friends, well, if you go there, I'm just going to follow you. Where you go, I'll go. Right. But here we have Naomi, right? Lost her husband and two sons, right? And she gained two great daughters-in-law, right? And as we know, I don't know about you, but, you know, we really should know if we're going to follow somebody else's God, we really should know what God they are following, right? It's not really good to worship a God just because someone else does. Amen. Sometimes it's not really good to follow somebody just because. Amen. You gotta know the person. You gotta know the fruit of their life. Amen. So you have to have your own personal relationship with the Lord, right? And God doesn't have any grandchildren, right? Or daughter-in-laws, but apparently Naomi manifested the love and the attributes of the Lord so strongly in the life of her two daughter-in-laws, especially in the life of Ruth, right? That Ruth, she was willing to leave her home, to leave her family, and wanted what Naomi wanted, and wanted to serve the God that Naomi was serving.
That's right.
My Lord. And this gives Naomi a great compliment, because it was Naomi's love, the love that she had for her daughters-in-law, the love that she had for her family was witnessed by these two young ladies. Amen. But Ruth was the one that said, I'm going where you're going. I'm going to follow the God that you're following. The other daughter-in-law ended up going back to her home. But Ruth stood firm, and she said, nope, I'm not leaving you alone. Wherever you go, I'm going with you.
Amen.
And let me tell you something. To leave your home to go to a foreign land, because now it was foreign to Ruth, not foreign to Naomi, because that's where she came from, right? But Ruth wasn't promised ease. Ruth wasn't promised a guaranteed comfort. But yet she chose to align herself with Naomi, wherever that would lead her. And I'm here to tell you that your future changes the moment your decision does.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
The moment you decide to take that turning point, because that was the turning point for Ruth. And the turning point was because, as we know, the Lord Jesus came from the lineage of Ruth and Boaz. Boaz was a relative to Naomi. Amen. And in that land, when they went back to Israel, we know the story. They ended up together.
That's right.
Ruth and Boaz. And through that lineage came the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. So our future changes the moment you decide to do something. Amen. And let me tell you, this was God's perfect will.
Amen.
For Ruth and Naomi. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Another turning point here. It comes often through interruption. Amen. It comes through interruption. Remember Paul. Let's remember Paul on his way to Damascus, right? He was on a horse, right? He was confident. He was a religious Pharisee. Amen. And he was persecuting Christians. Mm-hmm. And he was happy about it. He had witnessed Stephen being stoned. Mm-hmm. We know about Paul. But let's go to the book of Acts. Let's go to chapter 9, verse 3. Book of Acts, chapter 9, verse 3. And it says, as Paul journeyed, right, he came near Damascus, and suddenly, right, say suddenly, a light shone around him from heaven.
Amen.
You know what that means? That means that God interrupted Paul's plan in order to introduce him to purpose. God interrupted Paul's plans. Amen.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He was very comfortable. He was going his way. He was just like any other day. But then this bright light came upon him, and God decided, said, you know what? No. I got destiny for you. I got purpose for you. I'm going to interrupt your path right now. And I'm going to interrupt the direction that you're heading towards.
Amen.
Amen. And look at, if you go to Acts 22:8, right? Let's go to Acts 22:8. Here we have Paul reciting, right? And retelling the story. Amen. To some commanders. Right? And in Acts 22:8, look at what it says as he's retelling it. He's retelling his story. And in verse 7, he says, you know, when that light shone upon me, I fell to the ground. Verse 7 says, I fell to the ground and I heard a voice saying, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And verse 8 says, so I answered, here's Paul speaking, who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. So here, you know, the Lord Jesus identified himself as Jesus of Nazareth. And Saul, right, was to be told in Damascus, because remember, before his name was changed to Paul, his name was Saul. Right? So Saul was to be told in Damascus all the things that the Lord had planned for him. Look at in verse 10 in the same chapter. So Paul said, so I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, arise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all things which are appointed for you to do.
Amen.
Amen. So you see this turning point, the Lord knocked him off from the horse that he was on. Amen. He interrupted his life. The Lord identified himself as Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Amen.
Amen. And the Lord told him, you're going to go back to this place, and everything that I have planned for you, I will tell you.
Amen.
And we know, my Lord, we know that Paul has written mostly all the letters, all the epistles from the New Testament. And my God, we are still learning. We are learning. We are applying the Word of God from Paul's writings. Was that not a divine intervention right there?
Amen.
Amen. And let me share with you that some interruptions aren't attacks.
Yeah.
They are divine redirections. When a door closes, wait for it, because God is going to open a new one. Amen. When a relationship ends, wait for it, because God has someone better.
Yes.
When your plans fall apart, wait for it, because God is going to give you a better God idea that will be successful.
That's right.
Amen.
And what feels like disruption may be God creating a turning point in your life.
Amen.
This is why we always have to see the good of what's happening around us, because in everything there is a purpose under heaven. Because we serve a God that is good. God doesn't place sickness upon us. God doesn't attack us. Amen. God doesn't put us down. No, the enemy does. And sometimes we put ourselves down. We are sometimes our worst enemies. I have put myself down many times in my life. But what may feel to you a disruption in your life could be God recreating in you a turning point. He's changing. He's divinely redirecting your path and the way you're going. Amen?
Amen.
Another turning point will lead to transformation. So let me say, Paul, let's talk about Paul. Paul didn't just have an encounter. He had a new name. He went from Saul to Paul. God gave him a new mission, from persecuting to saving, to salvation,
hallelujah,
to saving
amen
lives. He gave
hallelujah
him new authority. Before, Paul was using the authority in the wrong way. But God gave him a new authority that will protect, amen, believers, Gentiles, Jewish people, the world. Amen. He gave him a new authority so he can use it for the Lord's good.
Amen.
The prodigal son didn't just come home. He received a robe, a ring, and full restoration. You see? So turning point leads to transformation. And when God turns you around, shame, guilt, condemnation loses its voice.
Amen.
When God turns you around, chains that may have you bound lose their grip. When God turns you around, your identity in Christ is now fully restored.
Amen.
You become to know who I am and who God says you are, because we are all special. We are all unique. We are all chosen by God.
Amen.
We are all chosen for such a time as this.
Yes.
And we got to remind ourselves that God doesn't turn us around to shame us. He turns us around to send us. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. I was talking to Brother Mark the other day, and we were sharing this scripture, and this reminded me of what we were sharing, because Isaiah said, send me, Lord. Amen. In Isaiah 6:8 in the Bible, where the prophet Isaiah, after receiving a vision from God's holiness, responds to God asking, whom shall I send? Whom will go for us?
God said,
yes.
Amen. And with that powerful declaration, the prophet Isaiah said, here I am, Lord. Send me.
Send me.
Send me. And you know what that signifies? It signifies a willingness, an unconditional acceptance of God's calling in your life. It demonstrates the readiness to serve God, to proclaim his message, to go out there and share the good news of the gospel, even when it involves difficult warnings.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
Isaiah said, send me, Lord. Are you willing to be sent by God? Are you willing to turn your life around for God? Amen. Are you willing to say, Lord, here I am, send me? Ponder on that. Think about that. And one of my last points is your turning point is right now. Not tomorrow. It's right now.
Now.
This is not just a teaching. This is not just a sermon. This is a moment in time that God has ordained for this word to come forth.
Amen.
We don't need a new year. You don't need a new job. You don't need new people. You need a new yes. Yes, Lord. Mm-hmm. Today can be the day that you say, I am done running, Lord. I am done delaying the process, Lord. I am done resisting you, Lord.
Amen.
One prayer, one surrender can mark the turning point of your life.
Amen.
Look what Hebrews 3:15, I'm ending with this verse here. In Hebrews 3:15, look at what it says. Today, if you will hear his voice, the voice of God,
yeah.
If you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion.
Yeah.
Amen.
Today, your turning point is right now. It's today.
Amen.
God is always speaking. But sometimes we aren't always listening. This word is for me too, church. This word is for me too. Amen. The problem isn't God's lack of speaking, but our lack of listening. Amen.
That's right.
And like I said in the beginning of this message, I said one moment in the presence of God, one moment in the presence of God can change the direction of your life.
Amen.
Because God is faithful and God will meet us at moments of decision making. And those moments will change our direction. Those moments will change our destiny. Those moments, as we know, will change the purpose that God has in your life. Amen?
That's right.
Amen.
But the time is right now. Like the word says, now is the time of salvation. Amen?
Amen.
And if you're standing at crossroads, if God has been dealing with you or with your heart, amen, know that you know today is the moment where you need to step out and say, Lord, this is my turning point.
Amen.
And just go with it, run with it, amen, and the Lord is right there with you to help you. To assist you, he will lead you. He will lead your next steps. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And because he wants you to come home to him.
Amen.
The Lord is a jealous God. He wants all of you, not just part of you. Amen.
Amen.
So go, go, go. Put action behind your decision and allow the Lord to steer your ship. Wherever that may lead you, allow the word of the Lord to be the lamp to your feet and the light to that new path that he's taking you on in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.